Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this very first day of September. We're celebrating workers this hour. We're doing an early Labor Day program as we're going to be off on Labor Day, the first Monday in September. Labor Day, just a little history here. In the late 1800s, the average American worked 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and children ages 5 and 6 were working in factories, mills, and mines. To address those issues, labor unions appeared in the late 18th century. There were strikes and rallies protesting working conditions. Many were violent. The Haymarket Riot, some of you may remember, of 1886 in Chicago. In September, on September 5th, actually, of 1882, 10,000 workers took unpaid time off to march from City Hall to Union Square in New York, and they held the first Labor Day parade in U.S. history. In June of 1894, after many states had already adopted a holiday in honor of workers, Congress passed an act marking the first Monday in September of each year a legal holiday. What better way to mark this holiday a little bit early than with people who are workers? We're going to be speaking with a teacher, John Peacock, a bus driver, Karen Martinez, and a barber who owns a shop in Milwaukee, Felipe Martinez. Does their work give life meaning? How do they choose their professions? What gives them happiness each day? What makes them concerned and upset each day? Do they make a decent living? We'll be hearing from all of them, sort of in the line of Studs Terkel, in whose spirit this show is dedicated. And we'd also like to hear from you, the parking valets, the mail carriers, the waitresses, business executives, farmhands, airline stewardesses, telephone operators, receptionists, coaches, janitors, photographers, poets, athletes, dentists, piano players, whatever you happen to do. We would love to hear about your jobs this hour. Our phone number, as always, is 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, where Scotty will be doing some video during the course of this hour in case you want to see the faces behind these voices. And we're on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. May I introduce our workers this hour? John Peacock, National Board Certified Teacher who lives and works in Milwaukee. He graduated from DePaul University with a Master of Arts in Mathematics Education. He has spent 11 years teaching high school math in the public school districts of Chicago, West Allis, and Milwaukee. He has taught courses as part of the International Baccalaureate Diploma Program at Reagan College Prep High School on Milwaukee's South Side. He is currently working as the Director of Teaching and Learning for the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association. John, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Why did you choose teaching?
Oh, that's a great question. I didn't originally choose teaching. I had started off, actually, as a music major, sound
really?
Recording, yeah,
oh,
and jazz studies. And then at a certain point, I realized that in order to make a living at it, I was going to be doing certain things that I didn't necessarily want to. I envisioned perhaps having a family at some point, owning a home, and working late hours with limited benefits and getting paid under the table at various studios and things like that, playing grocery store openings, those sorts of things as a working musician didn't appeal to me at that point. So I was working for DePaul University at the time, and they were paying for furthering education. So I started taking education classes and mathematics classes and ended up with a Master of Arts in Mathematics Education and got a job in Chicago Public Schools. I always knew that all the way back to like sixth grade, we had to do a little beginning of the year survey, much like probably a lot of kids in sixth grade are doing today in Milwaukee Public Schools. And we had to, sort of a scavenger hunt among our peers, ask what people's favorite subject was. And I put math down. I figured everybody was going to put math down. And that was the first state where I realized that, in fact, most people don't care much for mathematics. And the thing I hear more than anything else as I tell them I'm a teacher. So more than the subject itself, I was just interested in making connections with students, sharing this thing that I had enjoyed, and hopefully bringing that joy back to some of the students that that experienced it as well.
So you're happy with your job?
It comes and goes depending on the day, depending on the year, depending on who's running the state, all those sorts of things. But, there's nothing like it as far as being in the classroom. And when it's good, I can't imagine anything better. It's just super satisfying. The day goes so quickly. Every time I look at the clock, it's all about how much time do I have left as a opposed to how much time until I get to go home, which was really the first time in my life where I'd experienced a job like that, and that continues on.
And we'll ask you in a little while, when is it good? It was an interesting phrase you used. Also joining us is Felipe, or Flip Martinez. He's the owner of Flippin' Styles Barbershop on 8th Street and National Avenue on Milwaukee's near South Side. They're going to be celebrating their 10th year anniversary this Saturday, and will host a customer appreciation cookout. This is good. There will be a raffle and also school supplies giveaway. Do you go by Flip or Felipe? Which do you prefer?
Again, it kind of depends on the person we're speaking to. Most customers know me as Flip, and everybody else is Felipe. So I take.
Okay, we'll call you Felipe. I like the ring of it, Felipe. So you cut hair as well?
Yes,
you style hair?
Yes, I do.
I can't imagine doing that. Tell me, because you have to be so confident when you do that, and it seems to me as though it's really an art form in many ways, and you've just got this head you're working on, and then the person's going to give you immediate reaction, and you're transforming them in some way.
Yes, it's definitely an art form, because with haircuts, there's typically no wrong in doing it. It's because the customer, they have their own vision as well as the barbers and stylists' vision. So once you put them together, you know, that's how you create the style, hence the name Flippin' Styles. So, you know, it's the same thing, same satisfaction as, you know, performing or doing anything else. So it all correlates.
How did you happen to become a owner of a shop and a stylist?
Kind of by luck. I was working at another location, and someone, you know, presented the opportunity to take over their salon. And after 3 months of kind of helping them run the salon, I just kind of asked if it would be beneficial on both ends for me to just take over completely, and that's what ended up happening.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Karen Martinez. We have two Martinezes in our studio today. Karen has been driving a bus for 7 years. For the past 3 years, she's been an instructor helping train new drivers. She works for Milwaukee County Transit and works out of the Kinnickinnick Station, one of three stations that they have. And we spent some time talking to her. She got here early. Really loves her job. Really loves her job. Karen, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you also for having me.
Whoops, I got the wrong mic then. You're very welcome. It's nice to have you in studio, and you're all dressed in your uniform.
Yes.
You just express so much enthusiasm about your work. Obviously, there are bad days, but what makes this job a really good job for you?
Well, I feel that we do a very important job out there. We are out there to help the public, and I love working with people. So if you want an exciting job, that's what it is. No 2 days are alike. So I happen to just love coming to work every day, helping people get safely to where they have to go on time and in a timely manner. And it's just everybody from all walks of life, you know, that you meet out there. I mean, just all different people. And it's just it's a very exciting job. So I love it.
You even like Mondays?
I even like Mondays.
Do you?
Because Mondays aren't really Mondays for us. We work weekends. We work 7 days in a row to have 3 days off. It's just a really exciting job. And just to be with so many different people, like John was saying about how your day flies, it just absolutely flies by.
Does so, it? That's yeah, a sign that you like what you do.
Yes, and you're out there in the weather, you know, you get to see the beautiful days and drive in the snow also, which is different.
It's also to be driving something that large requires a certain set of skills, doesn't it? I can't imagine doing that. I think it would be very difficult.
Yes. Well, it's not as difficult as it seems. I mean, because it is 40 feet of bus. So it is
a
very
bus.
Large bus. And but, you know, like I'm an instructor, so teaching people to me, I just think it's a little easier to teach people how to drive a bus. You know, we teach them certain ways to take corners, not to hit them, you know, and just to be, you know, we teach safety. That's our number one rule is safety.
Mm-hmm.
So we try not to have them look too much at the time. You know, we try to stay on time because people can get a little funny about that when they have to get to work on time.
Sure.
Or school. But we do try. We do our best out there. Our drivers, we have some really great drivers out there and very, very skilled. There's no doubt about that. We are very good drivers. So,
when John used the phrase, when it's good, it's very, very good. And I'd like for each of you to talk about that. When you think of your job, the best moments in your job, what you will take away from your work experience when you retire, what will be what's really good? John?
Well, as a teacher, obviously, the main reason you're doing it is for the students. And so it's about the student interaction, whether it's seeing a student in your classroom sort of click and get something for the first time that they hadn't, or a thank you, just those little moments where someone comes up to you and tells you how it's going. But as far as the actual day-to-day where you have, you know, a lesson planned and things are working, you see students engaged, you get feedback, you get questions you didn't expect, and the lesson maybe goes somewhere you didn't expect as well, and it makes it more interesting for everyone involved. It's not, you know, paint by numbers by any means. Karen had mentioned how every day is different, and again, that's so true for teaching. You know, it's just every student is bringing something different. They're bringing their own experiences, and sometimes you walk in the morning and you say, I'm not feeling good. I'm not going to have a good day, and by recognizing that, I often can say, all right, well, I'm just going to have to work twice as hard to make sure that I'm putting on the smile, which ends up being contagious with the students and can, you know, like I said, just make things really click in a really positive way.
And make you feel better as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When your job is really good, Felipe, when you've had a really good day, why is it a good day?
I think it kind of relates to John saying with the students is the satisfaction of the customers. It could be, I don't say a bad day, but it's a hectic day. It's very long, like a day like yesterday. Obviously, today is the first day of school.
We had a lot of people up there.
Definitely a lot of people.
Right.
Whether it's appointments or walk-ins, we had, you know, a little over a 12-hour shift.
Ooh.
And as hectic as it is the satisfaction of the customers, them being happy whether it's a wait or not, you know, them being taken care of, and then the excitement that they have being ready to go to school for the next day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's surprising us that we're able to bring that to the table.
Yeah, that's a big thing. You're at a moment in people's lives going to school the first day. Your hair is, believe me, I know
right,
for the kids
they're
going to
remember that.
Your hair is really important.
And it's a, and with that, and the same is a conversation piece. You know, no matter how old the kids are, it could be in kindergarten, you know, they're naming out the shops or the barbers, so there's always something to talk about, so we're still in conversation, whether, again, from kindergarten seniors and, you know, in high school or even in college students.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Karen, a really good day driving a bus is what kind of day?
A day that you can stay on time. You don't have any complaints. And like they were both saying, a smile and just making your customers happy. Sometimes just a smile and a good morning, someone can just look up at you and say, wow, you just made my day.
Right.
You know, just smiling at me. And to me, I mean, I can't say how much I love being around people. I just love
it. I can tell.
And I love to talk. I guess. Can you tell?
It's good for radio, let me tell you. You are a perfect guest, Karen.
Well,
you are. Yes, you are.
I appreciate you asking me.
On the flip side of it, when are days and what happens on days when you say, oh, my gosh, why am I doing this for a living? This is really hard. It's really hard. I just don't feel like things are going well. A really bad day is what, Felipe?
A really bad day, again, kind of, I hate to say like yesterday, but being that it's so hectic, you have to accommodate everybody. And at times that is stressful, not only with the customers, but also the staff and parents and dealing with the kids. You know, everyone has their moments where maybe temper tantrums or whatnot because the wait might be too long. Or
mm-hmm.
So just trying to always keep a positive mind and a positive attitude so you can kind of keep the vibe in the shop or wherever, even with the parents and anybody in there, just to stay positive and try and keep that afloat. So that at times can become very stressful because that's a lot of weight on just that one person. And it's not just myself, it's the rest of the staff that has to deal with the same thing. And that can become an issue because everyone has, might not have a good day or had a good night the night before, and then coming into the environment in the same sense, you kind of got to learn how to separate it and deal with things accordingly. So finding balance to do so, it could be a challenge at times.
John?
It's the unknown, and when it comes up on you, it sneaks up on you. So you walk into the building, you're feeling great, you're excited about a lesson, and you get an email from a parent who's upset about a miscommunication.
Mm.
Or you have a student who walks into your class who you're excited to see, and they hand you a drop slip, and you know that this is possibly the end of your relationship with them. you know, it doesn't come too often from the typical things. Those make for mundane days if you have, you know, a class that's not engaged or a student that's not listening or talking back or things like that. Those are things that you know that's going to happen on a regular basis. But it's those special things that you just don't see coming, and there's often no way to really be proactive and stop them. So then it's just, how do you deal with it? Or worst case scenario is one of those things pops up at the end of the day, and then you take that home with you, right, and you're sort of thinking about it going into the next day, sort of powerless and sort of planning out how it's all going to happen. And on those days where you've done all this thinking about it, you've handled it every which way in your head, and those things usually go fine. So again, it's those surprises that come up that end up scaring you the most and can really rain on the parade.
Interesting answer. Karen?
Yeah, like both gentlemen have said, it's very stressful sometimes driving the bus where, you know, there's things beyond our control. And people do, I mean, I don't want to say they do kind of get mean sometimes to us.
I'm sure.
You know, it's really hard because we do our best out there, you know, and there's so many things that can slow us down. And just from my own personal experience, I've been stopped by trains and the bridges and then, you know, traffic jams and, you know, just things that really stop you. And then you have people coming in, oh, you're making me late for work, or now I can't get to my connecting bus. And, you know, we have to keep that smile on our face and just say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm doing the best I can, and you have a great day, because, you know, we want them to have a positive experience on the bus. And to me, when it gets real stressful like that and there's no way of catching up, it does get really kind of stressful for us.
Well, how do you deal, I wonder if this happens very often, with people who are disruptive?
It doesn't happen a lot,
doesn't
you
it?
Know.
Good.
But when we do get disruptive people, you know, we do have transit security that rides our bus. And we do have shields around us drivers now. And we do... Pretty much we can handle, you know, most situations out there. And if we do need help, they're just a push button away. We call dispatch and they will send transit security to our buses. So, I mean, I haven't seen it a lot, you know, lately. I mean, we haven't seen much really disruptive behaviors.
Good.
The kids are back in school now.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Just kidding.
And you've got, you were saying earlier, you've got rival football teams or
right.
rival football schools on your
right.
bus.
Right. I had West Dallas Central and Nathan Hale, but they were very well behaved and they were a great time.
Yeah. So learn the school songs and sing both of them on the
right.
way to school every day, right? That's what you'll have
they'd
to do.
Get out of the bus if I started singing.
I don't think they would, Karen. I think they might like it.
You're right.
Yeah. I had an uncle who was a conductor on the Chicago Northwestern for 50 years, and he got everybody together to sing. He was Irish. Dan O'Leary. He'd get everybody in his little area to sing Irish songs all the way to work. And when he retired, he was on the front page of the Chicago Daily News with the songbooks, and they were all singing, "I'll Take You Home Again, Kathleen," or whatever it was.
Now that's a wonderful day.
Yeah, that's a wonderful day. You're right. You're right. What about money? Do you have money concerns? I know two of you are members of unions, and of course, I highlighted the history of Labor Day, and conditions were atrocious, and unions were responsible for so many important things, changes in the work week, and five-day works, and not having to work 12 hours a day, and child labor laws, et cetera. So it's two questions. Do unions help you financially, and do all of you feel, we've heard so much and done so many shows on this huge gap in this country between those who have a lot and those who don't have a lot. Do you think we have a fair economy for workers in America? John?
Yeah, I think we're sitting down with a bunch of us who should be middle-class workers. And, you know, these are the sorts of professions that we want to be able to be homeowners and
sure.
make a good wage and yet have time for things like families and hobbies and all these sorts of good things. We also probably wouldn't be having this conversation about work if it wasn't at least some part about money. That's why most of us, you know, make it in on time and do those
right,
sorts
right.
of things. You know, I was fortunate. I had a master's degree before I even started, you know, and years of experience when we had strong union, relations. And so I feel that I'm well firmly entrenched in that middle class lifestyle. But I look at brand new teachers just coming out. I look at people who have multiple kids and need to have someone stay at home, and the wages that we earn don't provide in the same way that someone 40 years where they could have a single family income could do it back then. And so I think it's constantly on a struggle, especially here in Wisconsin, I think, and having like a union or really any way to sort of look out for each other so that we've got people's best interest in mind as opposed to looking out for me getting mine. I think that's a really important thing, and people need to be aware. And Karen and I in the lobby were talking about different ways in which the driver's union and the teacher's union have, you know, supported each other
at
different
stages. Showing up for each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And I think just that whole mentality of a city looking out for each other, a state looking out for each other, I think this is really important. And when there's those gaps, when it doesn't happen, that's when we need to make sure that we have, you know, organizations that, you know, look out for working class folks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Felipe, have you had to worry about money at any point in terms of work? And do you feel that you get a decent enough income in what you do now to be able to support your life?
I mean, I can only speak on my behalf, but I think worrying about money is not a big issue, but I think it's always an issue. And for me, we're pretty much like self-employed contractors.
Mm.
So as well as myself and the guys that I work with, it's on an individual basis because I try to help everybody to promote themselves and be dedicated to themselves. So if you're not putting forth that effort and our clientele is there, we have numerous, whether they're returning customers or new customers on a regular basis, it's your priority just like anybody else that works a 9-to-5, whether you're a teacher, you're a bus driver. Again, it's your priority to be there on time. It's your priority to put forth that effort to gain a raise or to go up the ladder. And it's no different for us. We have to be there on time. We have to be consistent. We have to service our customers in a timely manner. And just to be appreciative on both sides, just in our business as well as the customer side. So it goes, for me, it goes on an individual basis on how bad do you want it. So concern about money is how bad do I want it? How hard do I want to work for what I want? And always to make sure the priority is to have what we need, because, you know, there's times where I'm sure besides myself, we tend to live beyond our means because, you know, there's a higher necessity for wants than there is for needs. But to find a balance, and I think that's the key for a lot of things, is finding the balance to what's for wants and what's for needs, and then the amount of effort and energy you put in to obtain that.
Mm-hmm. So, does your business depend on return customers? Do you try to nurture those?
Definitely. We try and take care of everybody equally, but we definitely benefit from those return customers because they got, again, the guys that are working the 9-to-5 that have regular jobs, they're coming every week or every other weekend, and if they have kids, they're bringing them right along with them. So we definitely need to not say give more attention, but we have to appreciate that because, again, without the customers, there really wouldn't be no us.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and Karen?
Yeah, that's the same with us. Without our customers, we don't have a job either. But I do agree that our union is very strong, and they fight for us really well. But I also, on the flip side, our company is very fair too. I mean, I feel that we make a living wage. So I'm a single parent myself with my youngest in her clinicals now. I put her through Concordia. My oldest daughter went to UW Whitewater.
Wonderful.
So yeah, I have been able to sustain with this job, and I do feel it is a wonderful job, and I will not complain about my salary.
So you don't want to make any more money than you do, Karen? I mean,
yes,
seriously?
I do. But, I mean, I am an instructor, so I do make a little bit more as an instructor. Mm-hmm. And with our company, we have a lot of overtime, so if you want to make money, you really can. It's a very sustainable job.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We'll welcome phone calls. We're talking with workers in anticipation of Labor Day. And three great ones they are. This is a really fun show. Joining us, Karen Martinez. She's been driving a bus for 7 years. For the past 3 years, has been an instructor. She works out of the Kinnickinnick Station for the Milwaukee County Transit Service. Felipe Martinez is the owner of Flippin' Styles Barbershop on 8th Street and National Avenue on Milwaukee's near south side. We do want to let you know they're going to have their 10th anniversary this year, which is a big thing, hosting a customer appreciation cookout. There will be a raffle and a school supplies giveaway. John Peacock is a national board certified teacher living and working in Milwaukee. He has been teaching high school math for 11 years in public schools in Chicago, West Dallas, and Milwaukee. And he is currently he's on release from MPS, working now as director of teaching and learning for the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association. So what is it you do? What is the state of labor in 2016? Are people making enough money to get by? When you think about your job and when you think about your job at the end of your work life, what do you hope to say about the meaning of your life's work? Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we'll be with you and continue with our guests in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls. We have many of them coming in for all our great guests. We start with Leo in Madison. Hi, Leo.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing well.
Good, Leo.
I just wanted to let you know that I love the job that I have in Wisconsin. I've worked here all my life, and I'm really enjoying it, making a good living. And if you can stay healthy and have a positive attitude, I think it just keeps you going.
What do you do, Leo?
I sell radio advertising and digital advertising for commercial radio.
Uh-huh.
And I love it, and I love public radio, too. I send in my contribution every year.
Thanks, Leo.
Listen, I couldn't go without public radio, even though I sell commercial radio. But, you know, the variety is great, Kathleen. I get to go all over the place. I get to meet interesting people. And I get paid, I think a fair wage for what I do. And my job is to help local businesses grow and prosper.
Mm-hmm. And how did you come to do what you do, Leo?
I started at UWM doing sportscasting at the local station in Milwaukee.
Oh.
And got into it there, and then realized later on that in sales, it was the best paid position at a radio station. So I gravitated from broadcasting sports and news into selling advertising.
Great. All right, Leo. No downside to your job, sir?
I love it.
You just love it.
Sounds like me.
Yeah, it does. Sounds like our guest here. Thanks, Leo, so much for your call.
Thanks. Enjoy your program.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. Jim is next in Rice Lake. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Kathleen. I just want to say I've been a white-collar professional for the state for over 25 years. I enjoy my work very much, and the money and the position I've earned was achieved through collective bargaining. And I know you have a teacher on today, and I just want everyone to know as Labor Day approaches that Scott Walker has stripped all of us of our right to collectively bargain, which helps us to support ourselves and our families. I also work now part-time as an educator to supplement my income, which I enjoy teaching at a Native American community college. But as our chief executive seeks a third term, I would like everyone at Labor Day to remember what he's done to us. I'll take my answer up here.
All right, Jim. Thank you very much for the call. Do you feel like unions, labor is under assault in some way? John?
Oh, for sure. It has been for the last several years. It's bigger than that. I was, watching Studs Terkel's interviews and, sort of mentally preparing for today's show.
Were you?
And
good for you.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
These are not new issues by any means,
right,
but it seems to be more divisive and there's more propaganda. I mean, arguably on both sides, but there seems to be an anti-union sentiment with people not really understanding the history, especially with the city that we're residing in right now in Milwaukee. It's played such an important role in cities like Milwaukee and Chicago and
right,
getting us to where we are today.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people, it's advertised as, Labor Day sale at your local whatever. This is on sale, this is on sale. But the history of Labor Day in this country is very rich, and there's a lot to learn about who we used to be and how far we've come. We need to remember what our history is.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Karen, what about you? Do you think, have you worked at jobs that were non-union? Is there a difference between non-union and union jobs?
Yes, I have worked at non-union jobs, and I do know there is a big difference. The unions are under attack. I do believe that today. But without unions, where is your fair wage? I mean, where can you, who do you go to help you keep the fair wages and your good health insurance And matter of fact, that's why I left my job. I was making barely any money after 13 years. Insurance, I could barely afford it. Single parent, you know, it was tough. And when I came to Milwaukee County Transit, as I told you, Kathleen, my brother's been a driver for 27 years. And he kept telling me, come and be a bus driver. And I would say, I can't drive a bus. And like I said, I love it. But I do agree that we do need unions. We really do. And it's unfair that they're under attack now.
Do you mind saying what kind of work you did before you drove a bus?
I worked in a bank. So, yeah, I worked in a bank.
People in banks don't make much money.
Right, not unless you're high up there and, you know, and I was not high up there. Mm-hmm. And after 13 years, I was shocked that the money I made for the important work that I did do, and there was no one to, you know, go to say, well, I want a raise right now. You know, you just don't, or like I feel it should be fair. You know, fair day's work for fair wage, you mm-hmm. know. And now I do feel I'm getting a fair wage. So I do.
That's interesting, We're welcoming phone calls if you'd like to join our conversation. We'd like to hear from you. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. It strikes me, and I know that Scotty spoke with waitresses who are in a similar kind of category, and with somebody who works at the zoo with animals, we're starting to think about all the professions we'd like to talk to, and I'm so glad you did a great job finding all of you. But there's something that requires a lot of understanding of human nature, I think, in each one of your jobs, that you are going to encounter people who may have significant problems, you may encounter people who are angry, you may encounter people who want to pour out if you're cutting their hair their whole life story, they're getting divorced, or they don't know if they want to get married, or should I have a kid? I mean, you're really hearing the hearts of people in many ways in each of these professions. Felipe, let's start with you. How do you handle that? I'm sure it happens all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It happens every day, throughout the day for various reasons. Again, we have a very diverse crowd, and you never know what you're gonna have in your chair that day, and it can go from one client to the next, where one's very positive, they're having a productive day, is great, and the next customer is maybe lost a job, or they're going through something personally at home, and for us, it's almost as we're barbers, we're stylists, so it's hard for us to find. I guess a key word for me is balance with a lot of things. So, is to balance out, you know, how to approach those discussions and to be very objective for one, because you don't want to take in your personal preference and how to go about things to give somebody else, because you really don't know their situation.
Right.
So you have to be very careful and not to offend anybody and not take anything personal. So, you know, trying to always keep a positive mind, and at the end of the day, you're here to service them, give them an ear more than anything, and hoping that you perform well on the cut, and they're satisfied with that, to kind of drift them away from the negativity. Mm-hmm. And again, stay positive and lead them out the door on that note, and not to, you know, have them on a downside of things.
What is it that makes, once we go to get our hair done, we just sit down and woo, we just unload everything. It's just the strangest thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's either strangers.
You either get that, or you get, you know, it's a place of peace. So when you sit down, you're speaking, whether, you know, again, it's negative or positive, or you're having a moment to relax and you're away from everything else. So we get those two reactions. And I couldn't tell you myself, because even when I sit down and get serviced, I blank out. So, you take in the moment for what it is and enjoy it.
Right.
Enjoy your service, because that's what you're there for, to feel better about yourself and move on about your day.
Yeah. John, with students, you run into students who are coming to school with all kinds of things going on at home and worried about their futures and worried about getting grades, and that's a big thing for a teacher.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I went into the profession with this idealism that I would be saving lives, and it doesn't really happen in that sort of day-to-day basis, but you're making connections, you're tracking students down, someone doesn't show up, and you ask your colleagues, were they in the building, and you hear they were, so you visit the lunchroom to see if you can find them, or or you just notice a difference. Someone who had been, you know, raising their hand and very active in class, and then suddenly they're quiet and they're reserved and they're not participating, or the scores are changing on exams. Uh-huh. And you reach out to them, and sometimes there's arguments about it and there's tears, and usually, you know, something good comes out of it in the end. But yeah, it's so many different things. As a high school teacher, where we don't see the same 30 to 40 students all day long, we're seeing, you know, 200 students over the course of 2 days. And it's, you know, just every gamut of emotion from anger, resentment, and then just genuine enthusiasm for where they are. And for so many students, it's an escape. It's their home away from home. They spend as many waking hours at school as other places, and it's a place of comfort, familiarity, friends, and you know, leadership with the teachers that they hopefully respect. Yeah. and learn something from.
Yeah. And Karen, you must run into the same people, many people, the same day. You're seeing them day after day, month after month, year after year.
Yes, we do. And as Felipe was saying too, you really have to take in consideration, people are obviously all different. They come from different walks of life. They have problems that we try to, they do tell us our problems as if we were like a psychiatrist in a way, and we try to help. We really do. I mean, we are a people-oriented job, and I don't know if you've seen in the paper recently, there have been several bus drivers that have helped save people. One helped a girl from being assaulted, another one helped one from being kidnapped, and there's a lot of drivers that are out there doing this every day, and some goes unnoticed, but we really do deal with a lot, and we also have to be in the right frame of mind to work with people like that. So we really do. I try to keep such a positive attitude because, you know, if they're having a bad day and they want to tell us some problems, I will listen to a point because we are, you know, driving. But we're there to help them, too. And it is a tough job at times, but some of us really do. Most of us do a great job at it. So.
Are you? Do you have training for how to encounter that when you're learning how to drive the bus?
We really don't. No, there is no training for that. No, but it does come from within. You know, a lot of us are just really love people, and we try to help, you know, anybody we can. So we've all have stories, as we say.
Oh, I'll
someone
bet
said
you
we should write a book. We should write a book because I would read it. but yeah, we all have our days, and we all have our stories. But I do feel that we have a great group of bus operators out there. Real caring.
Let's go back to phone calls. Laura in Waukesha is next. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Well, not too bad. I listen to you every day on my way to work.
Great.
Unfortunately, I just stepped into the conversation for discussing union. Wanted to let you know that I have been at my job almost 11 years in a company shop that's been in the city of Waukesha for 110 years. I work for a local union. I make a great wage. We have awesome benefits. And I just wanted to say it's unfortunate that our union cannot stop our company from shutting us down and moving us to Canada. We've got about a year and a half, we're told, before it actually happens.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, that's a hard one.
Yeah, so that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks very much for the call. And, you know, while we're talking about everybody, I didn't know if you would all be happy with what you're doing, but there is a big segment of the American workforce right now that doesn't have stable employment places. Jobs are going to other countries. There's a lot of people are working two jobs to make ends meet. It's not easy for a lot of workers now. John, is it?
No, that's absolutely true. And, you know, I see it with, you know, our students' parents and then the futures of my students. I've always taught high school, and they're at that, you know, precipice where it's a decision. And you look at people's passions and what they want to do with them, fans of the arts and things like that, my own experience with that. And you want to encourage people to do something that's going to be able to put food on the plate and give them that stable income. And at the same time, you want them to explore all the possibilities and have that possibility of just, you know, true passion and love for what they do. And it's that special mix where you find both of those things, where people can really love what they do and make the kind of money that they want to have the lifestyle that they you know, will satisfy them.
Wait, if you have somebody in your chair and the young person is asking you, talking about his or her future, let's say they're 15 years old, 16 years old, about to go out in the world, maybe to college, maybe to a job, and they say to you, "Hey, Felipe, do you have any advice for me?" What would you say?
It depends on the conversation and who the kid is, because you obviously we've been servicing them for a while, so you kind of have a feel who they are as a kid or a young adult, kind of like what a teacher would see. You see the potential in the kid, and you just focus on the positive things. And I tell them where I'm at, where I come from, because I too have came from not so much of a positive light. Mm. And I went in a different direction. So everyone's in charge of their path. And it comes down to choices. So at the end of the day, again, it comes down to what you want to put forward, where you want to be, and do you want to put in the time and effort and that amount of energy to obtain those goals. And it's just keeping them in mind that things are not easy, you know.
Karen.
Yes, I would first tell them to stay in school, first of all. That would be my first advice. And, you know, going back to two, we're defining these good jobs. You know, I think that Milwaukee County Transit really has tried to step up, and they created new routes now that go way out to the outlying areas. You know, we have some that go to Menominee Falls, Germantown, where you can kind of find a lot of jobs. You know, New Berlin area, Industrial Park. I do think that that could be a problem, too, finding jobs. You know, you don't have a way to get there.
Absolutely,
you know?
It's a problem, yeah.
Right, right. So I think that, you know, Milwaukee County Transit is really a, they're really stepping up. And now with the bus rapid transit coming, you know, I think people are going to be able to get to better jobs, you know, to really help them in life. So I'm really excited about this. You know?
More phone calls in a moment. We're talking about our jobs in anticipation of Labor Day, what gives our work meaning, what causes problems for us. We're speaking this hour with a Milwaukee County bus driver and instructor. We're speaking with the owner of a salon who does hair, and we're speaking with a school teacher and with you. Our number is 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, more phone calls. Michael in Baraboo. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Michael.
Hey. Nice to talk with you.
You too.
What I wanted to talk about was the fact that, as far as labor goes, I spent a 20-year career in the Navy, and I think a lot of people have a misconception about it's retirement benefits, and that, you know, 50% after 20 years may sound like a great deal, but when you consider that half of my pay when I was getting out was allowances and C pay and stuff like that, really a 20-year career ends up being 50% of 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to let the general public know that. And as far as unions go, I had come out of the service into a non-union. I wound up getting like from 25 of an hour to 40, but if I had a union, I don't think I would have been fired. So there's a union definitely would have been a nice protection for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so currently I'm not doing too bad, but I'm making as much as I did now 13 years ago.
What are you doing, Michael?
I'm an electromechanical tech.
Ah. So I would imagine there's always work available, huh?
Yes, that's true. But, you know, you never know what your wages could be. Like I said, to go from, 40 an hour to 25 an hour.
Right.
It takes a bite out of what you might expect your worth.
Right.
And to find that people that I work with earn considerably less than I do. And that's not quite fair either, but I'm not about to ask for a pay cut.
No, I can see your point on that one. Do you like what you do, Michael? Is it satisfying?
I've worked in better places. I'd rather be back in the Navy.
Really? Really, you would be.
But all in all, not too bad.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much for your call. Our number is 800-486-8655. He brings up an interesting point. All in all, I'd rather be back in the Navy. All in all, would you rather be somewhere else, Felipe?
Definitely not.
No, very, really?
No. Again, it is hard work to when you have a goal, when you have a vision, and there's always going to be roadblocks. So seeing the light ahead may be at a distance, but if it's something you love and something you enjoy and the satisfaction that you get from your customers, family, and friends, that's what keeps you motivated and that's what keeps you pushing. And again, it's something that I enjoy myself. Whether we have our good days or bad days, that's in everything you do. So just, again, keeping positive and staying focused on the things that you want and strive for those.
John?
Being a classroom teacher is, again, one of the most enjoyable things I've ever done. But throughout my 11-year career, there's been different events that have made me rethink the option of teaching. At one point, I went and took my P1, the first test for becoming an actuary, just to have
really?
An option. Yeah, especially after Act 10, when collective bargaining was stripped from the unions, I didn't know what the profession was going to look like. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what my take-home was going to look like. Years of stagnated wages is a scary thing. In the end, I kept coming back to the classroom, and I loved it and have always found that has been more satisfying. Though this is the first day of school where I'm not in the classroom. Here I am talking to you, and I'm now doing work for the Teachers Association in Milwaukee. But, again, trying to make other teachers have a longevity to their career and making sure that they have the things that will help them find the joy that I've found in it.
Hmm. Karen?
Yes, no, this is the best job I've ever had.
So, is it really?
I've had many jobs. This is one that I feel I'm being paid well for, to do a real important job, and I enjoy every day. So I'm very happy in my job.
That's great to hear. Anne in Madison. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I was born and raised in Wisconsin, but then found myself living down in Illinois for quite a few years. And when it was time for me to come back, I thought, oh, I'm 57. How am I going to find a job 150 miles away and a place to live? And wasn't sure how I was going to work that out. And I found a job as a live-in caregiver for three women with special needs.
Hmm.
And I've been really lucky in my life. I've had three jobs that I always said were the best jobs I ever had. And this is definitely the best job I've ever had.
Why, Ann?
It's so rewarding. It's so, two of the ladies that I work with have been kind of abandoned by their families. Mm. So we're their family, and it's, you know, just going up and seeing them every morning just gets me going, just does it for me.
What about pay? We hear that pay for caregivers is not enough to live on.
It's not very much. It's $11.66 an hour, and it doesn't matter if you've worked for the agency for 20 years or 5 minutes. Everybody gets $11.66 an hour, and there are no raises, no merit raises, so there is not a lot of, people don't feel like they have to do a really good job, because they're going to get paid the same whether they do a good job or a poor job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for calling. There is such a need, and there will only be a growing need for that kind of work, and people don't pay very much for it, but thank God for people like Anne, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you all have been just wonderful. I think, you know, really, you just have been so wonderful. I get my hair cut by you. I'd like to ride in your bus, and I'm way past school years, but we'll have you back to talk about education at some point. Thank you very much for all that you do and for the way that you do it. I can just tell you're all genuine, too, so you're not putting on any airs for us, and I didn't know what we were going to get into this hour, but I must say that I've just been really heartened. Really, it's been good. Thank you. Thanks very much to everybody. And thanks for all of your calls. And we are wishing you a happy early Labor Day, which is Monday, but we'll be off on Labor Day. So we thank our teacher, John Peacock, our bus driver, Karen Martinez, and the owner. And they're having on Saturday this special event of Flippin' Styles, who is a barber, Felipe Martinez. Thanks to all of them for being with us this hour. Thanks to Scotty Myers for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. You did a really good job. Actually, Scotty even went so far as to going, because we were looking for a waitress, to going to cafes this morning to find a waitress who might be free to be on the radio. I think this was such a good idea. that in honor of the life of Studs Terkel, we should do another show. You think? Another show? Yeah, I think so, too, with other people who are working, and it'd be good to do. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay listening for the news, and we'll return to talk about the national parks.
Decide to do something about it.